From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Inflected, Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where Nice Game Devs talks games and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy, I too make nice games. This week we're back to the drawing board for another Nice Thinking, where your nice hosts or nice guests brings an idea into the clubhouse to workshop on the air. And so, if everyone's ready, let's start.
All right. Okay, so Mark, this was I'm gonna take you back to 2023. I think it was last summer, maybe it was two summers ago. Uh-huh. We went and got lunch, and we were just talking.
I remember it well. Nom nom nom.
Nom nom nom. It was good. Actually, it wasn't that good. We got wings, and the wings were eh. But anyway, the important thing is we had a nice conversation, and uh-huh. What I remember talking about is we were talking about dialogue systems in video games.
Yeah.
And how a lot of times they're trash. What I mean by that specifically is that, like, oftentimes games will tell you what it is you're going to say to another person, but it doesn't explicitly tell you how you're going to say this thing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll say a thing that's like, wow, cats are great. And then, but when you actually say it in the game, it'll be like, wow, cats are great, you know, sarcastically and yeah. Whatever. So it's oftentimes unclear exactly how you're going to, like, say this actual thing. And so, like, the player's motivation and the character's motivations, not motivations, I guess, but just like what they're thinking and how they intend to communicate is wrong and confused.
Yeah, I have definitely, when I play games, lots of dialogue choices.
Yeah.
I just have to divorce myself from having any feeling of real control.
Yeah.
Because the game often often tries to be clever about it too.
Yes.
There's definitely a convention now that's been around for a long, long time, mm-hmm. which is that here's the gist of what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Right? And that's meant to sort of mitigate that issue. But I think what it does instead is just sort of like, it's like you're vaguely telling the story half remembered.
Yeah.
But yeah, it almost never comes out the way you want. And because developers like to be clever with it, mm-hmm. they sort of can't help themselves. They like the surprise of it not turning out the way you expect, because that is a natural storytelling technique.
Yeah,
But it's not a conducive gameplay experience.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you often your character is sarcastic, and that's some of that I think is a problem with the format.
Yeah.
And some of it is a problem with the practice.
Yes.
So we had a solution for this?
We had a theory.
Okay.
And I guess I want to talk about here during this Nice Thinking, because it feels like an appropriate time to do it. Basically, I think what we kind of came around to is thinking about, like, instead of explicitly stating the words that, like, you are going to say to this other person, mm-hmm. you talk about the motivations or the emotions behind the words and forego the words completely.
Oh, it's coming back to me now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
how do you feel about this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then your character reacts based on how you say you feel.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So I want to talk about, like, what that means, how you portray that to the player, and how the player, like, how you convince the player that this is a better dialogue system than the ones that other games do. Because I think that, like, there's definitely some legs to this idea. I've been like, tooling with this thing on and off since we've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
How I've been, like, tooling around with this idea is that, like, you effectively just, like, portray some kind of emotion or some kind of expression with, like, your four buttons or something. I'm assuming an Xbox controller. You got A, B, X, Y.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, like, sincere. You send sincerity out to this person.
Yeah.
Because the way I'm imagining it is that both of you already kind of have the context of whatever it is you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't necessarily, you don't need the words because, like, you know the context.
Right.
Maybe the game tells you the stakes are you're in a debate or something.
Sure.
Maybe it's not a debate, but, like, it could be. Or you're just talking with your dad. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We talked about, we should find out which episode this was, because it was on an episode, right?
Yeah. Might have been. Talk about that, yeah.
We might have briefly
with wings.
Yeah,
I don't remember the wings, thankfully. But it was meant to be like a not just a story branching, but like real gameplay. Like, you know, because I think you were leaning towards a competitive element.
So there was an idea I had where there's like a fighting game debate game thing.
Well, like overcoming a challenge rather than just completing a scene.
Yeah.
Right? Like your goal is to influence or convince, and you do that through appealing to context and emotion.
Yes.
Rather than fact, which is not really in your control as a player anyway.
Right.
Right. Because you, like, you know, it's like you're a detective and you interview the shopkeeper, and then you're listed three ideas your character has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of those are your ideas.
Right.
And so that's kind of the state of play right now.
Right. Exactly.
So the question is are we going around that problem?
Sure.
Or is it, you know what I mean?
Because
I feel like that's what that is revealed by, that is the notion that, like, you know, the words you say are not up to you because the system is not complicated enough to read, to just, you could just talk to it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, startups are eagerly excited about that potential, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, without considering, you know, the natural language processing, without necessarily considering that from a gameplay perspective.
Right.
We'll see where that goes anywhere, if anywhere.
Yeah.
But are we just saying, well, if that already doesn't work, if that's already broken, should we just skip it entirely and use another mechanism? Or are we trying to improve the existing?
I'm suggesting I guess it's not exactly the same system. I'm not necessarily suggesting that we improve that system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm thinking that, like, we can go kind of in a different direction with this system.
Yeah.
So we got where we're at now, and I guess we're sort of a crossroads where you focus more on what the literal words you're saying or the motivations and other things behind those words, and you just give enough context for those words. Or those motivations. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards, or which isn't exactly saying that, like, I guess I'm not saying we're not, like, reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we are turning the wheel.
Okay.
It's not super specific, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the way that I've been, like, thinking about it is that effectively, like, as long as the player understands the context and the player knows that whoever it is you're talking to also understands that context, the words you're saying do not really matter. Like, the specific words don't have that much impact.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I mean, theoretically, you could say a word that's offensive to the other person and then they would be upset. But, like, we're imagining a situation where everybody understands that context. So it doesn't matter. And it's all just about the motivations. So, like, for instance, if you are a parent and you're talking to your child and you know that you need to express to this child that you can't do this thing because it's bad for them. For various reasons, whatever the thing is.
It'll hurt them or something.
It'll hurt, exactly. It'll hurt them or something like that. So you would want to express strictness. You would want to be very clear about what you mean.
Right.
And why you're saying these things. And so the child might respond and be inquisitive and be like, oh, but this thing seems fun.
Yeah, smoking's cool, Dad.
Right.
All my friends are doing it.
And so then you would respond back with, you might respond with something like sincere, or you might respond, but you wouldn't want to respond with something joking, right? You wouldn't be like, yeah, I guess it's cool sometimes in the movies.
Okay. So we're not talking about now the spectrum of human emotion and inflection here comes into play because how many buttons do we have at our disposal?
Oh boy.
Right. Are we talking about a system where you have predictable inputs? So like you have maybe it's a choice wheel, right?
Yeah.
With an analog stick, and there's wedges, and there's maybe, I don't know, if we could make it come like 16 standard choices on kind of a spectrum. There's the ones that are next to each other are somehow related. That's a design question and how that works, right?
Right.
It encloses the possibility space of what your character can express.
Yeah.
And that those are the same, intentions you provide throughout the entire experience. Or is it contextually situational, sort of like how dialogue trees are now, which is that the options that come up are relevant to the conversation you're having.
You'd
need fewer of them because you don't need to design for 16 different for every choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to think that, that's a good point, actually. I'd like to think that, like, if you pick a good 16 set, then you never have to change those out and they will work in all contexts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a whole, I feel like I have to have a PhD to know how that would actually work.
I'm being Socratic here because I have an opinion on this.
Oh, okay.
Which is that I agree with you. I think it should be
a
standard set, and it doesn't have to be 16. It could be 3.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. It can, and that really limits the possibility space.
Yes.
But that's the point. That's games are that, right?
Yeah.
Is to the idea that like your choices matter, quote unquote, TM, right?
Yeah.
Is predicated on this idea that you can choose anything.
Right.
And that is just false.
Yeah.
Like that's just not how interactive media works. Mm-hmm. And it's not how it should work because mm-hmm. if you're going to, that's a simulation and that's all well and good. But yeah. like what's the point of that?
Right.
If it's just, like, just go talk to someone then.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Like, for sure.
If you really are intent on a system where you could say anything and anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, you'd want something that's really very predictable so that you can almost, you don't have to do that stop and start thing. Like yeah. you can even hold down the stick and guide it as the conversation plays out.
True.
Like just as it's happening in real time, which is not how people like to do dialogue systems. They like to sit and think, yeah. what am I going to say next?
Yeah.
But like, again, that's, we're reinventing the wheel. Mm. Like that's not how conversations work.
Right?
But, you know? And so changing your demeanor in real time might be, and that's a, you know, that's an idea on top of the idea, I guess. But
that's cool. I like that.
You know, so, and then it's really just about you guiding it and almost like directing the scene.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. Well, you're directing your inflection, the way yeah. you're speaking.
And the limitation means that there are yeah. just certain things your character is not going to do.
Yes.
Like your character is not going to behave this way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's fine. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's okay. Like, or the, you know, that allows us, the storyteller, to be more, that's where the context can come in, right?
Right.
If you have the sort of five or something, so small number of options that are always available to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes those two of those options can lead to similar results. Sometimes they can all lead to wildly different results.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't matter how you say it. It's yeah. always going to turn out a certain way. And you as the player really can't predict. And that's where you need to be an active listener.
Yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. See? Oh, it feels like it's coming together.
Yeah.
It's making sense to me. Ellen, is this making any sense? You're making faces.
Yeah, this is a thinking face.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I think the thing I really like about face. It is that it, I think it plays into like the role-playing aspect of, or it leans into the role-playing aspect of those kinds of games a little bit more than into dialogue options, which is funny because I feel like intuitively on the surface, you'd think it'd be the reverse.
Yeah.
Like you're getting more distance from the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think like, if you're first asked, like, what tactic do you want to choose in this part of the conversation, it makes you think about what your character would do.
Yeah.
Rather than what's, like, the most entertaining phrase that I see
right.
in front of me
yeah.
right now. You know?
Yeah.
Because while I might approach a game with an intent of having a character, like, a very defined sort of character run through, like a renegade run in Mass Effect or whatever,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm a simple person. I see a funny phrase, I click it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think that's interesting. It feels a little bit more unexpected and playful. And I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, you know, it also yeah. preclude mm-hmm. perhaps the common make sure you can pick all the options for moving on.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which is so natural. I definitely do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wish more options were locked off to me when I make other options.
Yeah. Well, because then you get to the point where you're like, well, I picked this option this playthrough and I have to go back and pick another option the next playthrough.
Right.
And that's kind of frustrating too.
That's telling. It means it's not fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so yeah, I like the way you're describing it as like a conductor. Like the way that I'm kind of imagining this is like, there's like maybe there is like words on the screen and there's dialogue things, but like
yeah.
you pick between four or five options or whatever, and that determines the color of the text as you go through it. Mm. That makes sense. And that just tells you the emotions, the motivations behind these
yeah.
words as you're saying it. And so like effectively what's happening is like, though I'm thinking about it almost from a technical perspective now, what's happening is like you're adding like a score or a graph.
Yeah.
To what's happening, and the game will read that graph, and then your the other person you're talking to will interpret that and then start expressing their motivations based off of that. But it, because yeah. it's like a graph and it's not just a flat out, this is the thing you said, I think it'll be more obscured as to how exactly you're saying it, but still hopefully clear to the player what their intention is.
Yeah.
That's the idea anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that like people will just like pick aggressive all the time and
yeah.
not think about it because
I suppose.
But like I guess we could put in traps or something for the player, so like if they're constantly yeah. aggressive, then like they get punished for it in some way.
Yeah. I mean,
there have to be consequences regardless
yes.
of like There have to be meaningful consequences, not necessarily negative consequences.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
Meaningful consequences, regardless of what strategy you're taking overall. So
yeah.
Maybe in some instances that are low stakes, it doesn't really matter if you're more aggressive in your approach versus more like gentle, mm-hmm. because people are just going to do the thing that you need them to do, or and you're just going to get through it.
Yeah.
But like in certain conversations, it might be higher stakes. And if you really lean into the aggression, then like there might be, you might end up in a place you didn't expect because you just acted like a jerk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I suppose that would change players more. But I'm worried that people will just be like, I'm playing the aggressive version of the game. Like if you were playing Renegade in Mass Effect or something.
Why is that bad?
Because people just attribute their decision making based off of the different endings that they feel like the game is going to have versus the them actually like role playing in a particular way. So like when I was playing Baldur's Gate 3, we've been playing like an evil version of the game. You just pick all the evil options, everything that it seems the worst possible thing you could possibly do. You're like, I'm gonna do that. So it makes your decision making easy, I guess, but it's not like particularly engaging. You're not like making decisions. You've just already decided this is what I'm doing, and so you just do that thing. That makes sense. Whereas, like, ideally, I would like there to be certain contexts in which case you would pick the evil option because you actually think that your character or who you want to be, I guess, would do this thing, not because it's evil, but because it makes sense for you in the moment.
Okay, I've been taking notes.
Okay, that's great.
And I think we have an outline here.
Sweet.
Okay, so these are the things I want to talk about.
Okay.
So I do want to talk about the UI, the actual physicality that the player experiences.
Okay.
What does this look like?
Okay.
And maybe we can punt that for a little later.
Sure.
But I think what you're talking about when you're talking about the evil option or the good option, I think this maybe might reveal the strength of this approach, which is that, which we haven't talked about yet. Mm-hmm. Because you were saying, like, as you, you know, make your selections, it reveals your motivations.
Yes.
But, you know, this is the old screenwriting advice. There's a difference between motivation and emotion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And so motivation, like when you write a scene, you're like to write strong characters in a scene, you have to identify what each character wants. Mm-hmm. Right. This isn't how real conversations work.
Right.
But it is definitely a screenwriting kind of convention, which is that everyone goes into a conversation in a film or in a scene. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a tool rather than an axiom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is that, what is that person want?
Right.
So in Mass Effect, you want the next clue to the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you want you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Video games generally don't have a lot of this that the player has any input on necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just you want to proceed is kind of all you ever really want.
Right.
In a dialogue train.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but those motivations reveal what you say and how you say it. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, your motivations do not govern fully. Like they just allow for what you say and how you say
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
Supposedly govern it.
Yeah.
Because if you say, okay, well, I want this person to give me the name of the perp or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's my motivation.
Yeah.
That's going to determine what I ask.
Yeah.
You know, but also like, how am I going to ask it? That's the choices we're asking the player to make. Mm-hmm. But we're not asking the player to make choices about what they want, right?
Yes.
We're asking them on how they approach it.
Yes, right.
So we could break that up into two separate systems.
Okay.
You can enter a conversation with a motivation. You could on the fly change your motivation.
Yeah.
But that's a different than the choices you make on choosing your how you emote or how you,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So I started getting into it too much, but that's the preamble.
Okay.
I want to get into that.
Okay.
Maybe we'll start with that.
Okay.
The other things I want to talk about are outcomes. Like
yes.
If we're designing a game like this, like we're designing a system, but let's imagine we're making a game.
Yeah.
How many endings do we want for a scene? How should your choices matter, quote unquote, TM?
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. that's an interesting thing because I'm of the opinion it's not that as important as people think it is, but this is a system that might invite it.
Yeah.
Then there's agency. How should the player feel about the choices they have, right? Like, if we give them a lot of choices, but they don't feel like they're making a difference, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm. But we could also give them very few choices and really imbue a lot of meaning in a lot of them and make them really feel like they're guiding things. See the outcomes immediately or hide them for later.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to talk about is like, how do we actually determine what gets said? Like, how do we write a script for this?
Sure.
Right? Okay, is that a good outline?
It is. All right, so I have been using the Nice Games Club t-shirt to work out recently, and it's been nice. Like, it's kind of a weird pitch for a t-shirt, but like, hear me out. It's nice and long, so like, it doesn't like, you know, flow too much, but like, it's nice and long for like, while you're jumping around or dancing like I do. And it looks nice while you're, you know, on the go, moving around, doing your thing. It's pretty cool. Also, yeah, I just, you know, I like the insignia. You can kind of advertise a little bit for Nice Games Club, which is neat. I could be like, what's that? The people would be like, what's that insignia? And I'd be like, well, it's Nice Games Club. What's that? And then I got a flyer. Thanks, Dale.
It sounds like a very personalized advantage.
It is, but, like, you can have your own little adventures with your Nice Games Club t-shirt. You can have, like, you think about this pitch when you're going to the gym and you got your shirt on. You can think about how, like, energized that the show makes you feel.
Ellen, are you buying any of this?
I just liked it when Stephen was describing the Nice Games t-shirt as nice.
Yeah.
It felt very, like lots of layered meaning.
Yeah.
And you feel that when you're wearing the shirt.
See?
Right.
Yeah, he did.
So if you want to engage your, you know, your brain, as Ellen does, nicegames.club/shirt.
Yep.
And if you want to get those muscles, nicegames.club/shirt.
The whole package.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I almost want to start with the last one because I was under the thought that like you don't really need to display any words. Mm-hmm.
You're thinking this like visually it's like simlish or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't consider that at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking because I feel like I don't have a degree. I think that a lot of communication is just based off of like emotions, motivations, and how you portray those things.
Right.
And not necessarily the words you're speaking. I think the words you speak have certain context to make them more important or less important, depending on what it is you are actually talking about. A lot of it, I think, is just the context. So that's kind of what I was trying to do with this dialogue system is just like focus on the context and not necessarily the words.
So, I mean, I think there's a long distance between that and then getting an actual experience out of it. Like, what does the player use to make choices then if they just hear nothing but inflection?
That's a good point.
Right?
That's a very good point. These are the kinds of thoughts I have when I'm about to go to sleep. So I think halfway through the thought and not the whole thought.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, that's why you brought it here.
Exactly. Y'all are supposed to help me with this.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Right now, though,
no, I'm not falling asleep. We are engaged. I think that.
Well, first, let me ask Ellen. Did that also surprise you that that's what Stephen was thinking? Is essentially a purely abstracted kind of experience?
You know, I was going to ask about this maybe a little bit further down the line.
Okay.
But it did occur to me that like it would be really fun to be able to dial up the abstraction and mix and match.
Yeah.
So like if you had this approach in some instances, but then in other instances you just provided like the dialogue option as written, you know.
Huh.
Like, that would be interesting. Or I wanted to experiment and talk a little bit about the different ways you could layer things like this in there.
Yeah,
I suppose.
But the way that I had initially envisioned it is that you would make a selection based on your
your tactic, like your motivation or your goal for that part of the conversation. And then the character would say the words, you know, you wouldn't have another layer where you're making a choice about the actual text or, you know, content of the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. That was closer to what I was thinking too.
Okay. I mean, that's, we can go in that direction. If y'all are both, I mean, cause honestly, I'm having a hard time explaining it fully. Cause again, it's half baked thought anyways. So, yeah, I like that. We can, let's progress in that further. What was your first thing we wanted to talk about? What are you doing, Ellen?
I'm trying to raise my hand.
Oh, yes. You in the front.
Thanks. I wanted to make sure that I understood, because Mark, you asked about this too, and I wanted to make sure I really was clicking on it, because like, I've been using the word tactics and you've been using the word motivation, and I think that's, there's an interesting disconnect there, right?
Because
I can have one motivation and one goal, and I can approach a conversation with many different tactics and have still the same goal. So like, I want to mediate a conflict between two members of my household. I might take one approach, which is yelling them down. And I might take another approach, which is like splitting them up and like talking to them one-on-one, or like being soothing and the mature adults. And, you know, like,
there's
different ways I could approach a situation, even if I have the same motivation. And so I wanted to make sure I really understood exactly what you were trying to aim for, Stephen, because the way I've been thinking about it is like, you know, tactics, right? I'm going to approach this conversation aggressively. I'm going to approach this conversation like sympathetically, or offer sympathy or something like that.
Yeah.
Not motivation, which is maybe more story dependent, like higher level.
So
I don't know.
Motivation comes first.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I agree. Effectively, what I'm thinking is motivation, your goal, is the context in which you're having this conversation.
Yeah. And the player needs to know that.
Yes.
That's what's missing from dialogue trees now.
Exactly. The tactics that you're describing is more like the different ways you can approach this conversation with this, while you still have the goal in mind.
Yeah.
So like, you might be more aggressive, you might be more diplomatic, I don't know. But like, those are the, basically those are the options that we present to the player as how they can approach a conversation.
Honestly, like if our innovation here is to say at the beginning of the conversation, the game tells you, maybe explicitly with big words on the screen, this is your goal in this conversation.
Yeah.
Complete this goal.
Yeah.
Make it a game, maybe.
Ooh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then honestly, our regular dialogue system would be incredibly improved just by that alone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I think we want to go past that.
Yeah.
But because, okay, so the mediating between two roommates, right? Let's use that example.
Yeah.
I hear an argument in the other room. Mm-hmm. I walk in. My motivation is learn what's going on.
Right.
Right? So, all right, I start the conversation. Let's just imagine a standard dialogue tree now.
Sure.
Right? So my goal is to learn what's going on.
Right.
I have a couple of options. I pick the one I think would get me there the best.
Yeah.
I ask that. I get a response, whatever. I find out what's going on. At some point now, once I've satisfied that motivation, I can now choose a new motivation.
Yeah.
And maybe that's from a list, or maybe the game does tell you. This could be, I mean, if a system like this could, the game could just tell you what your motivation is all the time. It doesn't have to give the player choice there.
Yeah, for sure.
But maybe, okay, you find out what's going on. There's a conflict. Your motivation is now to either resolve the conflict or end the fight, right? Those are two different things, right? Yeah. I was like, oh, you can pick one or the other.
Right.
I want to stop the ruckus. That's end the fight. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't care about the underlying issue.
Yeah.
So now I'm presented with options which can guide me in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. And I can see how successful I'm being in the other character's response. Maybe some literally just a bar of like, good job. Like, I mean, maybe that's like really mechanizing this might be the answer.
Yeah.
But then I realize, oh, that's not working. I'm not achieving. I'm not getting the good job bar high enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to switch my motivation. Mm-hmm. Now my motivation is to resolve the conflict, but now I need to motivate. Now I need to learn more about the two sides of the conflict.
Right.
So I'm going to find out, now I need to go back to inquisitive mode, but my motivation is now is to learn more about even more, right?
Yeah.
And then you can choose, okay, now I'm going to pick a side now.
Yeah.
So I'm picking a side, and my motivation is now to convince the other person, or to, you know, something like that. So there's a kind of a two-step process, but that motivation part is, I think, core to any version of this idea.
Yeah.
Which is to give a player a reason to pick something other than to get the best option or see the coolest scene.
Yeah.
Because I definitely have been very lost in dialogue trees where Yeah, and right, if you want to just be like, I want to be a character who is sort of aloof and funny, mm-hmm. then your motivation could never be to get yourself involved. It could always be just to calm things down or make a good impression,
right,
or something like that, right? And then let people solve their own problems.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it depends on how complicated you want your story tree and stuff to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, separating that, making that motivation a clear mechanical thing, I think is key to any of this working. And that's it's so, kind of independent of the original idea, frankly, I think.
That's
I don't know. Do you agree? Am I like twisting things too much?
It's rated.
It's rated. What do you mean?
Sorry, I said it's related.
It's related. Yeah. Yeah, it's related for sure. I think that it's interesting. It's a very interesting way.
I just want a reason to choose aggressive or silly or diffusive.
Outside of just the way I want to play the game in the moment.
Yeah.
I get that. And I agree with that perspective. I feel like players kind of do that sort of already a little. They pick their own motivation.
Yeah.
And they just decide this is my motivation.
Wasn't that because the game doesn't give them any
exactly,
options?
Yeah, it is. And so I think that like having giving the player that particular motivation, telling them that this is the puzzle, I guess, that you have to solve in the moment, can definitely change things and change how players approach it. I'm curious about how players would approach it in a different way if their motivation was just directly told to them. Like oftentimes when you go to an NPC, you'll want information about where the nearest bank is or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's because somebody like another NPC told you, I need to know where the bank is. And so like they get that motivation from that perspective, but they're also doing it because like the game is like, this is a quest and you need to go from step A to step B to step C or whatever.
Yeah.
But like in this, I guess in this instance, when you're like trying to talk down, a couple of your roommates, your motivation is vague and unclear. And so like giving the player that specific motivation determines how they approach the conversation. And then it turns it more into a puzzle.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it does sound different. From
I was like, oh, Steven said puzzle. He's going to turn against this idea.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily bad.
That's what I say when I'm being diplomatic. I do like that idea, but it does make it a puzzle, and I think that is different from what I was trying to describe.
Okay. There's a thing in games, especially like RPGs with lots of dialogue choices, where there's tell me about your backstory, right?
Yeah.
And then you you open up a new tree full of all sorts of options to ask about,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I could read that in a codex.
Yeah,
I don't really need to do it this way.
Right.
But also, like, why on the eve of battle, I'm like, tell me about your childhood.
Yeah, that always bothers me.
Like, I wouldn't actually be motivated to do that,
mm-hmm.
Other than I'm playing a video game and I want to see all the stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think making it much more explicit. And making you acting in tune with or opposed to what your motivation is, either directed to you by the game or chosen by you, that's where the consequences should come in.
Okay.
Right? So that when you don't pick something, you should feel good about not picking it.
Yeah.
Instead of just frustrated that you didn't see it.
Well, the one thing I really liked about this concept is the good job bar that you had.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like it tells you that like, you know, you're making progress with the goal that the game has set for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. Because like I think when you have obscured motivations, you can kind of feel like you're making decisions based off stuff, but you don't have any context.
Mm-hmm.
This is giving you context as to how well you're doing with what you wanted to do or what the game tells you want to do. Yes, Ellen.
Yeah, two things. I'm going to talk about like an idea that I want to layer on top of that.
Okay.
And also like how funny it is for instructional design to intersect with game design. And what, once again, I like that idea. It's like, I like the idea of having like that explicit goal.
Yeah.
And I like that you could have it there. And then once in a while you actually maybe give people the option to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily you give somebody that option for every single dialogue or every single scene, but it's another thing you can play with. You can add a different motivations for certain conversations. And I think that kind of variability would be really engaging and really interesting. Without, you know, if you make it a requirement for every exchange, then it's going to really potentially balloon all the writing you have to do. But what's really funny is like, this is actually a strategy used pretty often in conversational training. So like if you're doing a simulation, then if you're simulating a conversation, you have options, you have the conversation, but usually you're creating a very small slice of a conversation. Mm-hmm. So people can really dig down into like the phrasing that you're using and the process that they're trying to follow.
Sure.
And you can provide really specific coaching feedback for those things. And there's often a meter that's like on the top or somewhere on the screen that's like, you know, like your goal is to get them to ask this, you know, to ask more information about this thing that you're trying to sell. And it moves you forward and backwards against that goal. Sometimes you have multiple goals you have to balance. And so you might have a graph that like two lines moving around.
Multiple goals.
So
sorry, that was just a really cool idea. I didn't even think about that. It's a possibility. Whoa.
It's just funny because like it's already done. People have already done it. But usually it's not like tactical. It's usually the exact phrasing that you're working with someone to choose from, because you're trying to instill a habit of phrasing with it that learner.
It's more about the words and how and the specificity of the words,
exactly.
Whereas that's not what the direction we want for this game, or I want for this game. Yeah, I guess.
The system.
Yeah, the system. Okay, so I'm definitely leaning towards good job bar.
Yep.
That's definitely a thing we should do. Also, frankly, having a good job bar telling you that like you're doing 50% good or 75% good makes it less like a puzzle has an answer. This is less of an answer, I guess, if it's a bar.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, you're trying to satisfy a condition.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't really matter how you get there necessarily.
Yeah.
The puzzling is like kind of sussing out, trying things, seeing what works and doesn't, and you need feedback for that.
Exactly.
So good job bar.
Yeah. I really like the idea of having two motivations.
Yeah.
Because then there's conflicting ways to do it. Because you had brought up, like, in this conversation, you want your roommates to shut up, but you also want them to resolve the conflict because you like your roommate.
Right, right, right.
But in the moment, you're watching a movie and you want them to be quiet.
And, you know, if you let them talk it out long enough, you might find out that there's actually maybe a bank heist opportunity in it. So, you know, maybe. Yeah. or whatever.
Yeah. So,
conflicting motivations is really good. And having those. There is a system I'm building for Dream Settler that is related to this in some way. It's a more meta system. It's called calling it the Affinity System. Mm. So there are factions in the game that all have different like goals for the sort of big plot of the thing.
Yeah,
and you interact with everybody in this game. With all dozens of NPCs. And your interactions are either like you solve cases for them, or you communicate with them, or you visit their websites, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
And the what you do will then impact your affinity with those different groups. So if you take this one case from this group, this other group will have less affinity for you. And everything you do with anyone increases your notoriety with them. So that's a sort of a back-end system that's not being visible to the player that I'm building. So that all of that will determine what future things are available.
Yeah.
So tons of different outcomes. But this system is not going to be, it's different from what we're talking about in the sense that there's not really, there are going to be many endings just as a result of the many possibilities, but they're not going to be like, they're not gearing towards three or four different outcomes, right? Yeah. That system isn't, right?
Yeah.
There are some things that, anyway, so it's a sort of a more of a background sort of thing. So your playthroughs will never be the same because every little choice you make is a little, a piece of the multiverse, right?
Right, right.
That's something that you can't do in a traditional dialogue system or narrative structure, because you'd have to design for all of those situations,
exactly.
Right? We're not doing that. We're just designing all these different moments, and you're just going to see a certain number of them based on the conditions you satisfy as you go through.
That makes sense.
So it's important for us to keep that system sort of hidden from the player.
Right.
Because we don't want them sort of like engineering the results for that.
Game it,
But it is the reason that I brought it up is because it's similar in this multiple motivation sort of thing.
Mm.
In that you may be wanting to get in with this group, and so you'll do more with them, but you know they're opposed with this other group who you've got a thing going with.
Right.
And so you kind of have to balance those things. Or you could decide, you know what? I'm just going to go all in with this and just see what the consequences are. Or it's like, I'm going to try to juggle this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's a similar thing to what we're talking about here, just on a more micro level. And so that really does excite me, because I'm sort of doing a lot of that thinking already.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. 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 I definitely think that there's some potential there with it, especially with having multiple goals, because I think that like it makes this more engaged, less of a puzzle, I suppose.
Yeah.
Less solvable,
right?
Because you will want to do one or the well, but then you're just talking about Renegade versus Paragon, a little, which is annoying too. I don't want that. Well, but the motivations don't have to be that strict, that opposing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be good or bad. You could just be like good in this way or
well,
good in
see, that's
way.
The thing. I think you're conflating it again because Paragon and Renegade are not different motivations.
Yes, right.
They're just different attitudes.
They're just different attitudes.
Which is why it's so pointless.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a sort of a vanguard of the idea of if you behave a certain way, then other options will unlock to you. So similar to what I was talking about,
right.
Affinity systems.
Yeah.
So it's you know, not we're not reinventing the wheel.
Right.
But I think those things are generally used to unlock, like, you be more aggressive, you unlock more aggressive options.
Yeah.
It's very one-to-one.
Yeah.
And
that's true. We're not doing that.
But we are talking about, like, having a motivation separate from your sort of attitude.
Yeah.
Right? Which is sort of similar.
Sure. That's fair. I see what you're coming
from. The difference is that in Mass Effect, you don't really ever get to pick your motivation.
No. Yeah. Your motivation is always the same.
You're always just picking your attitude.
Beat the Geth or whatever. I only beat the first game. I don't remember. I don't remember where it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It is different. The context is different enough that it feels different enough where I feel like we're not doing
well. So this is the choices matter, quote unquote, TM bit. Yeah. Like, what value is it to the player to make these choices?
Right.
Because I think we've perhaps demonstrated a value in terms of like this good job bar, right? Yeah. Satisfying these motivations you're choosing.
Mm-hmm.
But then do we care if the game has branching narrative? Do we want that to really change the outcome of chapter 4 or whatever? Or ultimately lead to 5 different possible endings?
No, I don't think I would actually, frankly, I would prefer it if there was just one ending
mm-hmm.
and just the way you got to that ending was maybe different, but like it always played out the same way.
Yeah.
Ultimately your roommates shut up and you can watch your movie or whatever it is. but like and they get along, but like the way you got to that point changes, and so it changes how you feel about that ending,
yeah.
instead of what the ending is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So like maybe they got along and they stopped arguing about it, but like they insulted you a bunch of times in order to get to that point or something,
yeah.
and you're like, oh, I'm really upset with my roommates, or something like that.
What about if you don't, you can fail. Right.
Okay.
That's the one thing the dialogue options in games don't give you a lot of opportunity to do is fail.
That's true.
But if this is a video game we're talking about, we're designing a game.
Yeah.
For players to play.
Yeah.
And this is a mechanic of play.
Yeah.
And we have goals to meet, and let's say we're saying we're giving the player a motivation rather than letting him choose it.
Let's
imagine that system.
Yep.
Then they need to figure out how to do that, and there isn't just many ways to do it.
Yeah.
There are like 2 or 3 ways to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the many, many ways available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think about that?
I mean...
Where it actually does matter what you choose.
Having the good job bar gives you that
yeah.
possibility of failing.
And so if I'm playing, I can't play the aloof, sarcastic tone because then I will lose. How do you feel about that?
Well, because I feel like losing is another ending.
Sure.
So, like, it feels counter to what I would want.
So, you're all right with that?
No, it feels counter to what I would want.
Oh, I
see. Not all right with that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but I could see the argument for it just being, well, no, it just feels like a different ending. It just feels like you did the aloof ending.
well, I mean, game over.
Yeah.
Instead of end of game, right?
Yeah, I guess I would always like to... Ideally, I would like game overs to also feel like an ending, and then you just like stop playing the game. But like players aren't going to do that because it feels like a game over.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Yes, Ellen, do you help us out here?
I feel like I had a thought and then I was going to retract it. Yeah, I don't. Like, one of the things that when I've written goal based dialogues before,
yeah,
you know, I'm just thinking about like how. What I would do first is I would actually go through and like write out all the tactics that we were going to use.
Sure.
So it's like, okay, you're going to have a 7-round dialogue and not counting any branches that circle back or go off and die or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and 7-round is kind of a lot for that context, like for that specific purpose. But, and your goal is by the, you know, by certain, you want to create this outcome. You want the customer or whatever to ask a question in a specific way or offer some sort of information. And maybe there's an option if you go through it really well, then you get to that. You can get to that in 5 rounds. But on average, it's going to take people 6, and people who aren't necessarily doing like the right thing consistently, it might take 7. So I would go through and I would say, okay, for this round, you're going to have a option that's like perfectly executed, not quite so perfectly executed, mediocre. And, then like makes a mistake. And then you'd like write the phrases for that. But then behind the scenes, each of those things would be attached to a score relating to the goal. Yeah, even with that, we would write multiple endings, because if you made like a couple mistakes in a row, then like they'd hang up on you or something. And I don't, I'm struggling with the idea that no matter what path you take, it ends up in the same place.
Yeah, that's hard.
That feels
weird. That's very hard.
Because then your choices don't matter.
Well, yeah, I'm okay with that. I realize that's a little counter to what I was saying too, but
Well, that's why I've been saying choices matter, quote unquote, TM, because that's different from actually your choices mattering.
Sure.
Right? When your choices matter, what that actually means is that you need to make the right choices.
Yeah.
Not that every choice will you know, result in an equally interesting ending.
Sure. I don't want every result to lead to an equally interesting ending. I want the ending to feel different based off of the choices that you make.
Yeah.
Even if the ending is the same. And that's very ambitious, and that's frankly mostly a writing thing and not necessarily a game play thing.
Well, there's wiggle room within a narrative, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, even action games work this way, where like you can beat Mario, but you could also take the long way there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can go through all the bonuses, or you could die 50,000 mm-hmm. times, mm-hmm. or you could stomp all the Goombas or stomp none of the Goombas.
Yeah.
And that will make you feel differently about the ending when you beat Bowser.
Right. But
that does not require the game to come up with bespoke outcomes for all of those different modes.
Yeah.
So this could work very similarly.
Yeah.
But you do have to beat Bowser. You can't make the interesting choice to fall in the pit and expect to beat the game.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's kind of what I would argue is, like, if a system like this where it does matter, where what you say and how you say it matters, mm-hmm. it needs to have a lot of fail states.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, that's fair.
But then again, that's very specific to the game. It could be that you can get away with a lot, and some things are much more strict, and that could be contextual, right? Mm-hmm. When the things you say to a bank teller, in a hostage situation, when you're trying to like whisper to them about like, hey, like maybe we can get the if you're loud and boisterous and silly and sarcastic in those moments, like then you're gonna get it's not gonna work
right
and that's and you know that's an easy you know that's pretty obvious, but like maybe there are some scenes where you could approach it many different ways and the outcomes will be different, but it won't govern the fail state.
Yeah.
And then you pick up on the system and you start actively listening to how people are talking.
No, it just reminded me, I tried to do this. Not really thinking about it. I tried to do this during a game jam. I made a little Twine game where I started it during game jam and I worked on it afterwards. And I made a little game where you were on like a spaceship and everything like went to hell.
Yeah.
And you had to get off the spaceship mm-hmm. with a, and you only had like time to grab like 2 things.
Yeah.
And so but you didn't know anything about your character, right? So you're like just dropped in this room.
Oh.
Almost like, you know, the start of a Metroid game. and you had to like, you could look around and like look at the things that were in your room, and then you could explore a little bit. And then like, then you had a decision point. And you're like, what are you going to take with you? And so you learned a little bit about your character through these items. And they were all potentially important, and then you're supposed to make a decision about which items you were going to take. And then my intention was for that to like reflect your feeling of the character and what was important to you.
Sure.
And then it just like, okay, you got off the ship, yay. And the thing that people asked me about it later was, well, what happens next? Like, why do those items matter? And so I realized that like the point wasn't quite coming along, mm-hmm. like coming across, or maybe, and that might've just been a writing issue.
Yeah.
But it does remind me a little bit about what you're stating in terms of your goal of this design.
Sure.
That you want, you know,
Yeah.
It's going to be different, but
I'll have to think about it, especially with like respect to game overs and stuff. I think in general, I try to lean away from game overs as a concept.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that as a topic at some point.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I was like hesitant about it. But I think you're right, Mark. I think in order for this in order for it to feel like the decisions you're making are important, there needs to be some kind of game over, fail state sort of thing. I don't know. Y'all give me a lot to think about. I will definitely be remembering half of these things as I go to sleep tonight.
That's our show. For show notes and links on this and other nice thinkings, go to our website, nicegames.club. Visit us on social media at nicegamesclub, where Dale posts about game dev resources and colorful cacti. All right. Reply on the various platforms or email us contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be interviewing Kobe Anthony about audio design. But that's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.